Okay. What we're starting to look at today is subqueries. So if you would go to the subqueries link. We're starting to get into some kind of interesting stuff now with SQL, where you can really start to get some fairly sophisticated things done. So what this is a query within a query. It's a subquery. And so what it does is it resolves the inner query first. Okay, so it goes in there and it says select year goal from donor where name is like ash. Okay, so it does that, comes up with that result. And then it goes back to the outer one and says, okay, now give me the ID, the name, the year goal, and the contact from donor where the year goal is greater than the one you just selected. Now, the key thing here is that I'm comparing year goal to year goal, okay? And so I am saying on the inner one, come back with a year goal, and on the outer one, I'm saying, okay, now compare those year goals, okay? Does that make sense? Okay. They give you a bunch of different things that you can use for the comparison. Greater than, less than, equal, not equal, greater than or equal to, less than or equal to, any, all, and in. So I can compare it to any of the ones that come back from the inner query, all of the ones that come back from the inner query, or is it in the group that comes back from the inner query? So I can do that as well. Okay, so the second one going down. Okay, notice on the first one that I did the same table, and the second one is also the same table, but these do not have to be with the same table. I can do the inner select with one table and the outer select with the other so that I don't have to be looking at the same table. So instead of doing a linking or joining of two tables, I can actually, if I just want some information from the inner table, from one table, I can do that in the inner select. Okay. So on the second one, I've said select the drive number from donation where contribution is greater than 20. So it should come back with multiple drive numbers at this point. And if I want multiple drive numbers, I use something like, is it in that group? Okay. So I'm saying there is, if it comes back with multiples, is it in that group? Okay. Questions? Okay. Now, on the third one, I actually said, okay, let me get an average. So I basically want to find out what records are greater than the average. So it's bringing back the average. And then I'm saying, okay, what records have a year goal that's greater than the average? Okay. Now, on the fourth one, I've actually using two tables. So my inner one is saying, select the IDs where the contribution amount is greater than 20. So I'm looking at the donation table. And in the donation table, I want to get everybody that gave greater than 20, and I want to get their ID. And so now I'm going back to the donor table and saying, okay, show me the name and the year goal from the donor table where the ID is in that group you just selected. Okay, so this could have also been done by doing a join. Or a where I compare ID to ID. But a subquery is an alternate way of doing it. Okay. I could also have done it from donor, comma, donation, and gone in and done it that way. So a subquery, especially when you're using two tables, is frequently and just an alternative to doing it with the two tables and doing either the join or the where. And then you can get carried away and use everything that we have been using before. So I said, select the average year goal from donor. Again, remember that it goes in and does the inner one first. And then I said, okay, now come back and select the state, the contact, and the sum of year goal from donor. But I want to group by state and contact. And I only want groups that have a sum of year goal that is greater than the average year goal. Okay. Did I really need a subquery there? No, but it's a way of doing it. And right now I'm illustrating subqueries, so I used a subquery.
So you could have just said greater than average
year goal, yeah. Although, no, it would have been more difficult looking at it and thinking about it because I did the group by. And so I was already doing groups by contact the average is for everybody. So it would have been a different, slightly different thing because I did the group by. Okay, so this is the average year goal getting about the grouping and everything. It's just going and getting the average year goal. Okay. I'm not sure I took a picture of the other one, so I should. I should remember to change the location of those. But if I didn't at home, that's what happened. Okay, so now I'm doing two subqueries. Okay, I'm going to say, give me the name, city, state, year, goal, contact, date first from donor, where date first is in this subgroup, and state is equal to whatever I come back with in that subgroup. Okay? So, if I look at those, and down below I did the inner ones first so that you could kind of see what they were going to come back with. So I have down below select name, date first from donor, where inner goal is greater than 100. And I threw name in there just so I would know who it was. But I did this one separately and came back with those two names. Okay? And then I did this one separately and again came back with the name just so I had something to identify them by. But I showed you what I got. So the first inner subquery came back with Stephen and Jennifer, and the second one came back with Stephen. And I said I wanted the date first in the group that came back. And I said I wanted the state equal to what came back on the second one. And so Stephen is the only one that works. Okay. Now, if I was able to get more than one state, I should have used an in here instead of an equals. Okay. I assumed that I was going to only have one state with CMUG. Probably not a very good assumption. So if I assume that I'm going to get more than one thing back, I want to do and state equal and state in as opposed to state equal. Because state can't be equal to two things. Let's say I got back a Mass and a Rhode Island. Okay, state can't be equal to two things. So they tend to use the in there. Okay, on the next one, I did it with an or, which means I'm going to get more things back. So I said where contact is this or contact is in this group. So I said I wanted contact to come back in one of those two groups. So again, I did the stuff down below so that you can see what it came back with. Okay. So the contact is equal to Susan Jones brought me back two records. Susan Jones and John Smith brought me back two records of year goal greater than 100. And the final result had a John Smith and two Susan Joneses. And if I'd wanted to, I could have thrown in the name down here when I showed you the inner ones so that I could see the record more clearly, or the ID number so I could have seen the record more clearly. Okay. But essentially now I'm saying, and this is really getting into where you can tell the difference between the select and programming. Because in programming, I would probably write this in a whole lot of different lines. But the select really forces you to think through what it is you want and put it in one statement. And that makes it more complex because in programming, you can stretch it out over a bunch of statements and get what you want. But here, you've got to turn it into just one statement. And that's why people with the ability to use SQL make good money, because it's more complex, I think, at least. Yeah.
What's the relationship between Microsoft Access and this version of SQL?
I think they're probably the same.
Oh.
Or close. There's variations they're the same in the high 90s. SQL is SQL is SQL. But Microsoft has to do a few things different just because it's Microsoft. And I'm sure Oracle has to do a few things different just because it's Oracle. Microsoft, for one thing, I don't think requires the semicolon at the end. Or at least it didn't in some versions. I always put it there, so I honestly don't remember. Because every other SQL requires a semicolon. So I just always use it without even thinking. But I believe they said they didn't require that. And there's usually a few clauses, and I can't remember what they are off the top of my head, but there's usually a few clauses that are slightly different.
I saw one yesterday.
Okay.
I just happened to stumble upon it. The decode, I think, is an Oracle, and I think MySQL, it's case, I believe.
Really?
I think so.
I'm curious
so somewhere,
now.
Somewhere else about that. Yeah.
Okay, so let's actually open another one. File, new window. So SQL and case. SQL, or MySQL, let's try that. And decode. MySQL equivalent of the decode function. Alternate, MySQL alternate to decode.
And it's okay somewhere, and it's kind of similar to PV.
Yeah, MySQL apparently says select case.
Yeah.
I didn't think that would, I thought they had a decode too. Yeah, okay. So that's apparently one of them. That MySQL uses the word case as opposed to the word decode. Interesting. And And as I said before when we were talking about decode, decode is the closest thing you have to an if statement in SQL. And you can see there, looking down at the case, that it also is because it's got the when statement in it. So, again, it's the closest thing you're going to get to an if statement in SQL. If you really have to have if statements, then in Oracle, at least, you switch over to PLSQL. And SQL can be written in a variety of languages, so you can switch over to PHP, and you can use SQL embedded in PHP, and you can get access to the database and do basically if statements if you do that. Okay. Interesting. Anybody else run into anyone that is anything that's different? And this one is greater than all, so this one shows the greater than all. Where I say select asterisks from done away, your role is greater than all. And my inner one did a group by state, so it came back with two, since I just have Rhode Island and Massachusetts, but conceivably could have come back with a lot. And I said, okay, show me the minimum year goal for each state. And then I said, show me the year goal that's greater than all of the ones that got returned. Okay, so if the minimum year goal was 10 in one state and 100 in another state, I'd get everybody that was greater than 100 because I want it greater than all of them. Whereas on the line below, I want it greater than any of them. So if it was greater than the 10, it would still come back. So on the line below, I get it greater than any of them.
Can you use an equal amount?
Well, year goal, I wouldn't really want to test for equal. No, I don't think you can, actually, thinking about it. That doesn't make sense, does it? Year goal equal any. Well, maybe with the any you could. That would be interesting. If you have donor on yours, give it a try. Do I have donor? I don't remember what I put up there. But if you have logged in and you have donor, give it a try. I think it would work with the equal. Equal all would not. Because that doesn't make any sense on the whole. You know, you might have a rare coincidence where it was equal to all of them when they all came back with the same thing, but did you try equal any?
Yeah, and I've got 3 records back.
So did I. So, greater than any, equal to any, got 3 records back?
Yeah, I have different data than you do.
Right. Okay, but at least it didn't throw you out, and that's the key thing.
Right.
If it doesn't like the logic of what you put in, it will throw you out. So if it didn't throw you out, then yes, you could still throw the equals in there. And on that one, I did a calculation just to show you can do a calculation. I had actually meant to ask a question at the beginning, so before I go on to the next handout, I'm going to ask it. Back in the assignment for last week, I had given you a script. There was a script out there to prepare this, and it didn't work. Apparently something changed and it didn't work. So I gave you another script to create an employee table. Okay, and that's what I put there. So if you look at this script, that's a script. Okay, so I've got here, and I can go ahead and create that table by running that script. Okay, and what the script does is it simply puts in the create, and then it does all of the inserts to put the data in. And hopefully I managed to get the data right, because this was me, not somebody else. So anyway, we will assume that we can test it using this particular set of data. And I may have messed up. So anyway, if you make a script, you have this particular thing that you can use on a script. So I'm going to go into Oracle, and I meant to do that first, and it's one of those days. So we're going to go into Oracle. Where did they put it? SQL Plus. So now I'm going to go back to my script. And there's my script. And I'm just going to copy this script. Copy. And I called it Create EMP SQL. So I'm going to go back here and say Edit. Create EMP.SQL. Okay, so I'm saying edit that. And it says cannot find it. If I'd already hid that out there and I wasn't sure whether I did or not, then it would bring it up and I could edit it and modify it. But if it doesn't exist, it says cannot find the file, do you want to create a new file? And I say yes, and I'm going to paste that in. Apparently I'm not going to paste it in. Okay, so I will go and copy one more time, and now I will try pasting it in. Okay, so I have now pasted that in. What?
In PuTTY, it comes
Yeah, I will. If you're sitting there in PuTTY, it's a different world.
It's a different world. We have a
slightly.
Plus.
No, no. Wait a minute. Let's just go. If you do it this way,
okay.
And my firm suggestion is that if you want to create some scripts, you do it here. using this computer. I'm using this because it's going to be easier. But anyway. So I've now pasted it. I'm doing the file save, and then I exit. And I come back to the SQL prompt and I say @ create EMP, just @ the name of it is create, so I was thinking that. And put in the name, and it just created the table. Okay? So I now have the table out there. And if I... Okay, so... Apparently I had some problems I didn't notice those when I did them at home. Okay, it did indeed create it, but it yelled at me about a missing comma in a couple of them, so I'm not sure I've got the entire thing out there. You can go back and fix the missing commas or something. But if I say select asterisk from, what did I call it, EMP copy, okay, it gives me the data. And as I said, double check, there were apparently a couple of commas missing. And if I say select table name from user tables, okay, EMP copy is now there. So I've got EMP copy there because I just put it in. Okay, so that's the way that I can get it in here. Now, if you're doing it with PuTTY, it's a pain in the neck. But okay, so we want to go in through PuTTY. PuTTY, PuTTY, PuTTY. Does anybody see PuTTY on my machine?
Why do they call it PuTTY?
Because whoever came up with a lovely name for it. I have no idea why they call it PuTTY. Okay, so here is my host. If I go into selection, is it? No. I can go in back into session. I'm trying to remember. There's one thing you can do to change the window environment, and I'm trying to remember what that is. But you don't have to do it. I was just... No. Session always gets you back to this main word. I thought it was selection. Yes, it was selection. I thought I'd treated that before. Notice here in selection it says actions of the most button. If you click on Windows, the right brings up a menu. And if you click on compromise, which I talk about, why did they name it? I think compromise is a wonderful one there. Compromise, right pace. Okay? So, and what happened to my thing to click on there? Okay, there we go. So you can change this to window mode, and that means that when you're inside PuTTY, the right click will bring up a menu. As opposed to if you stick with the compromise, which is the one that is there by default, then the right does a paste. Okay, so the right click does a paste. So you have that option of changing it so that the right will bring up a menu and then you can choose paste. But I'm going to leave it at compromise because that basically is the default. And okay, now I get my mouse back. So I'm going back to session and I'm going to say open. Okay, I'm going to get out. And I am going to do it and change the colors because I forgot where I was. So PuTTY. So if I come in here and change the colors, I can say the default background is going to be modified to be white, and the default foreground is going to be modified to be black. Okay? And then I can go back into session and put up the cisweb.bristolcc.edu. and tell it to open, and that's more readable. Okay. If you want to carry on connecting without updating, that's fine. So that gives me the white on black, which is a lot more readable. At home, it doesn't probably matter, but when I'm up here on the board, the black background is a lot harder to read. Okay, so I'm going to log in, hopefully. Okay, so now I'm going to go back to this and do a edit, select all, edit, copy. Okay, so I've got that copied. And now I'm going back in here and I'm saying edit employee copy 2. We'll call it .sql. Okay. And then if I do a mouse click, oh, come on, race mouse click, there it is. I think I got everything. That doesn't look like I got the whole thing. Select asterisk from employee copy. I insert into if you copy and paste, that should be there. And then how do I get out of this? There we go. Yep, and let's see. I'm not sure I got the whole thing, but anyway. Now what I do is a write out. So I do the control O, or the upper O. What is it?
Control
and O. And then write that, and then get out. Control X to get out. Okay. And at that point, supposedly it's wrote it, but I don't think I ended up copying the whole thing. And so I now could say @ employee copy 2.sql, and the SQL command is not properly ended. So it at least found it. It was there. Okay, I can try again to make another one. But did anybody successfully copy and paste it in?
SQL Plus. I did it that way.
Huh?
I did an SQL Plus.
Okay, what do you mean?
I got the created the table for SQL Plus. I gave up on PuTTY.
Oh, you've given up on PuTTY. Okay.
Yeah,
all right. Okay.
Yeah.
Did anybody follow through on the PuTTY? And did yours come up?
I did it last night and it worked.
And it worked last night? Okay. Okay.
The table you just put up, the script you just put up, did I get it to work in PuTTY? I did, but I don't know how. I right-clicked on actually PuTTY and the whole table and the whole script went in.
Yeah, no, because it does a paste. I mean, that's the point, is the right-click on the mouse does a paste. That's the difference between Windows and Compromise. And I did it. At home, and it worked too. Before I was experimenting at home, I did it at home, and it worked too. But I apparently copied better when I did it at home or something. But if you go in and change it to Windows, then you come up with. Okay, so I'm going to get out. And And if I go into Windows, so if I come in here with PuTTY, and again, I gotta go and change the background color to white. And the, I probably should just save it, but anyway, modify and black, okay. And then I go back to session and cisweb.bristolcc.edu, and then I go to selection and I select Windows and tell it at that point, and why does that little thing keep going away so I can't take pictures of it? And go to Window, because I tried this at home too, and open and log in. SQL plus 12C dot PMSH, right? No. What did I write wrong? SQL plus. Isn't it 12C?
Yeah, SQL plus 12C.sh.
Why didn't it like that? CIS Web. I got into CIS Web fine.
The first one, yeah, doesn't make sense.
Oh, it's 11 the first time. So I can see where I've got a 1 in there. But the second time, I don't have a C. Okay, let's see if I can type. 12C.sh before I hit enter. Yeah, did I get
good.
It right?
That's good.
Okay, yes. Okay, so now if I say edit whatever, and I come over here and I right click, it gives me the paste command. Okay, so again, if I go back out and find this, and if I do an edit, select all, edit, copy, shouldn't that get the whole thing? Yes, it should. We'll see. So now when I right-click, I get the paste command. And it still doesn't look like it got the whole thing.
Well, there's a limitation on the buffer size.
That's what it appears to be. But because if I did it twice, that's what it appears to be. But I did it at home, and it worked. So, yes, we can look at, you know, I can ask them about that. But if not, you can always do an update. You can do the create and put the first half in there and do the update and put the second half in there if that's what it takes. But that does it with the, and I'm just going to get out and not save that. But that does it. If you change it to the Windows, that does it. And I'm going to meet with Eric today, so I'll actually ask him about that. Why that isn't working and let you know. So, that is the way that we can do it. Now, the important thing is this is creating a script, and you can create your own scripts for doing anything. So if you have two computers that you want it on or something, when you go to do the create, just create a script. And the way you create the script in Oracle is you say edit, and then you give it the name, whatever name you want. So it's edit, and then it's the name dot SQL. Okay? That takes you into the editor, which is a lot more friendly environment if you're doing it here than as if you're doing it through PuTTY. But it takes you in. And then you can write the script. with my script, I wrote it such that I did a create, I did the insert, and then I did a select so that I could see the results. Okay? And then you do an at sign, and you run it. And that will execute the script. Okay? So you go in and you write the script, and then you execute it. And as we found out, apparently I have some missing commas somewhere along the line. Although I actually don't see it, but it's all blurry to me now. Okay, so that's how you create a script in Oracle. And once you've created the script, you can execute the script and it will follow the commands. So it's almost like writing a program in that you can put in multiple commands, as I did here. I've got the create, then I've got a whole bunch of inserts, and then I have a select. And it will execute each of the commands one at a time. Okay. So that I will then have a table with those things in it. So if you installed it at home and you want to have it at home, but you also want to use it when you're in here, okay, so if you have Oracle set up on your machine at home as your personal Oracle, but you also want to have it on our server for when you're in here, then create the table using the script. And you can run the script here, and you can run the script at home. And then you'll have the table both places. Yeah.
I was under the impression that this was on the cloud, this platform we're using.
In what sense? You can't have access directly to the Oracle. They gave me access directly to Oracle from home, but apparently they don't have the don't have the size and everything to support giving it to everybody.
Right.
So it's doable if we had more size. And I don't even remember now. I played with it when they first gave it to me, but since nobody else was going to have it, I've completely how to do it.
Right. So it's not on the cloud?
No.
No. Okay.
No, it's on our server. And you can access our server through PuTTY. And that SQL plus 12c.sh is a script that Eric wrote that gets you access to our server to get in, and then you can get in and put in Oracle. Okay. I mean, the cloud. What is the cloud? The cloud is just a bunch of servers out there, so you're getting access to our server cloud. You know. Okay. Questions?
We created a table. This table is in copy. But in the assignment, it says use table emp, so on and so on.
Yeah.
You can just make a backup of this
that
one.
That can call it EMP,
okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I called it EMP copy because I already had an EMP up there.
Right. Right.
When I did
just
this.
Just in case something goes wrong.
Right. So, and yeah, but I mean, I was creating this, and I did this actually a year or two ago, and I already had the EMP table. And so I didn't want to replace the EMP table, so I just called it EMP copy, or whatever name I wanted to call it. But yes, and if you want to do a backup, you can just say create EMP as, okay. But take a look at it and make sure that I'm actually kind of curious.
Just two records.
There's two records?
Yeah, it was 7698 and 7798.
I'm missing a comma. Oh yes,
yep.
Right after the word manager.
Yeah. Right,
so,
after analyst.
Huh?
And right after analyst.
Right.
The second one.
Okay. So basically, those are the two commas that you can go in and fix before you run the script. Okay. So apparently, I needed a comma there and a comma there. And so, if you're running the script, go in and fix those commas. Okay, so those are apparently my two mistakes, is right after analyst and right after manager. On one of them, I didn't have a comma. Okay, so those are my missing commas.
Is there a command, like, okay, you created the create.sql, like a directory command? I tried dir, that didn't work. To see, like, okay, dir space star dot sql, so you can see all the scripts you have in your account?
Yes, but I can't remember. I don't remember what it is, so I will try to remember. Send me an email asking me that question, and I'll look it up. Don't ever count on me to remember when I get home the thing I said. Oh, yeah, I'll look that up. It doesn't work. But yes, there is a command that you can get access to almost anything. I just don't remember. Okay, so that basically is how to do a script. Okay, and as I said in here, if you're using PuTTY, remember to have the script text in Notepad and highlight it. When you go into the editor, the right click will paste it. You can then write and exit. Back at the SQL prompt is where you run it with the at sign. Okay. Questions. Okay. And I will try to remember to put the commas into the script when I go home too. Okay, so more on the subqueries is the next one. Okay, we did subqueries. And now we're doing more on subqueries. Okay, this one has got pairwise and non-pairwise comparisons. Okay, so this one is saying, I want to select everything from inventory where department, comma, item class is in the results that come back from this select. So this is a pairwise in that I'm pairing them when I go in. I want department and item class, and so my inner one is select department item class from inventory where reorder is greater than 25 and price is greater than 15. Okay, so I'm bringing back a, when I run this, and I again put the inner one separately. When I ran it, I came back with those combinations. And now I said select everything that has a department and an item class that matches. So the ones that say SPBK come up, and the ones that say TYCH come up. Okay. So I am looking for the combination in this case. Okay. All these things are simply tools so that when somebody says to the Oracle person, I need a report of da-da-da-da, these are just the tools that you've got that let you go in and get that report and get that information. Okay, so there's just a whole lot of different ways you can write the SQL select statement so that you can go in and get it. And as I said at the beginning, Oregon SQL proudly talks about the limited number of commands, and they kind of forget that the SQL select has 5,000 clauses and different ways you can do it. And that's what makes it complex. Okay, so this one, I want to say, select asterisks from inventory when department is in, and it brings back a group of departments. and item classes in, and it brings back a group of that. But I'm not saying it has to be a specific combination. I'm just saying I want department to be in the first group, and I want item class to be in the second group. Okay. So again, when I look at the results of this, department from inventory, where reorder point is greater than or equal to 25, gave me a whole bunch, and item class gave me a whole bunch. And I'm saying simply that the department has to be in that first group, and the item class has to be in the second group. So anything that doesn't have the department, and this is an and relationship. If I'd said or, that changes it totally, and I am saying one or the other. Okay. And again, these can all go to different tables, yeah.
Why then are there reorder points that are less than 25? I'm missing something.
Because that was to get the original. And now I'm saying give me everything that has that department number. Okay, the original thing said select department from inventory where reorder is less than or equal to 25. But that came back with the department number. Now, those department numbers could also be associated with other records where the reorder wasn't greater than or equal to. I'm just asking it to come back with the department number, and then I'm printing out the department number. Okay. And then on the second one, I'm asking it to come back with everything, the item class with everything that has something that is greater than 15, and then I'm looking for that item class. Okay. I don't see what the difference is on the second one. Oh, I have a compound. That's what it was. And this one, I got more carried away. So I can have as complex a thing as I want on the inner one. And then I just said I want the departments that are met that original criteria and the item classes that meet that original criteria. This is another paired one where I said select on hand on order, and I'm looking for a combination. So this basically gives you the chance to look for a combination, but as we saw above, it also gives you the chance to look at things separately. And I don't remember whether I have an or in here or not, but any of these could have been an or as opposed to an and. And there's no reason to stop at two. If you want to have this or this or this or this and this and this, you can keep going on these things. Okay. And these are just basically more examples of it. I added something in to get more complete results. So I did an update, or not an add, I changed something. Null values can be a problem, and so it is frequently done where you convert a null value and say, for the purposes of this, I want to have something in there as opposed to having a null value. So that's so I just basically put all zeros in there instead of a null value. And you can get into problems with nulls. So on the whole, nulls are something you want to avoid a lot. And if you don't want to avoid it in the actual data, you can use the NVL command that says, for the purpose of this query, avoid the null. Make it all zeros for the purpose of this query. And therefore, you avoid the nulls. The quiz that I gave you had a problem with the null. The null didn't do the translation of the name. If the null was there, then it didn't translate the name. Okay, so if you had wanted it to do something, and that was fine, actually, you didn't want it to necessarily, but if you had wanted it to, then you could have set to zero, and then it would have acted differently. Okay, or set to whatever you wanted to set to, and it will act differently. Okay, what I would like you to do is to bring up a table and try a few things. We've got about 15 minutes, and I don't want to go on to the next thing particularly. So I would like you to just try a few subqueries and try writing a few. If you have the donor table, a lot of these are donor. You can just do variations of what I did, which is one reason why it's good to have the donor table. And if you don't have the donation table, you can go back and create it the way that we just went through and create a copy of the donation table if you want to try the donation table. Okay. There is the... Okay, there's the donation table. It's under related multiple tables. And there's the description of the donation table. And it's only got four fields in it. So if you wanted to try out the script and you don't have the donation table, my original donation table had four donations in it and four things. So you might try that too. Going in and doing that create. It gets out in about 15 minutes. Oh, but you can come in, yeah. So I'm creating the donation table now. And I have no idea whether I already have it out there, so I called it donation 2. You're tough on the keyboard. Okay, so I made this and I'm now saving it and exiting. And hopefully when I get back, I can run it. And I did, I created the data. Okay, so I went into Notepad and I created this donation table in Notepad. And then just copied it. And I went into Oracle and said edit donation2.sql. And it came up with a blank screen and I pasted that in. That was what I made, so I just pasted that in. And for some reason, it really doesn't want to show that. Okay. And so then I copied and pasted. And so I said, edit, donation. Yeah, right. I said, edit, donation. 2.sql, and it came up and there was nothing there, so I pasted that in. I pasted in what I had just written. Okay? And then I saved it. Now this time when I came up and asked it to come up, it you know, came up with the code already there. So then I said, okay, file exit, and then I said @donation2. Now this time when I put this in, it's going to tell me name is already used by an existing object, but I think it actually went ahead and added it. Lovely. Okay, so it actually went ahead and added it, so I now have double out there. Okay. So, I want to get rid of that. So, I'm going to say drop table donation 2. Table of view does not exist. All right, drop script. That's what you asked about, and I don't remember what it is, so it can't do it. So, I can call it 2A or something like that. Okay. Oh, actually, I can drop EMP. What is it called? Donation 2. Drop table donation 2. I wasn't thinking. It's actually table donation 2. Period. And the table has been dropped. And so now I can run it. I confused myself by calling the script the same name as the table for a second. So I said drop the table donation two and I recreated it. And now I have the table out there. So go ahead and make the donation table, and you could also go ahead and make the drive table if you wanted to, so that you would have donation, donor, and drive all out there. I don't have a donation table out there, so I can just say create donation as select asterisk from donation 2, and I now have invalid create command. Create table donation, and I do that all the time. Okay, so now I've got both donation and donation 2 out there. And I need to put donor out there as well. Questions?